A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist, featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Live from an undisclosed, windswept mountaintop in the middle of the Maine coast, this is the Whole Agenda Radio Show with your host, Gordon James Gianni Noto, who's here with his fabulous producer, Diane, and his cat, Will.
Hi there.
Hi, Diane.
Yeah. And you have Willow next to you, I take it?
Yes, it's really sweet. He hasn't been doing this for a few weeks, but he's got his head curled up on a stuffed yellow tiger kitty that if you press a button, it goes meow. But the battery's dying, so it goes meow. Anyway, he's right here, sound asleep. And I can reach my right arm out and scratch his ears and his neck and his top of his head, so he likes that. And this is the largest listener-supported internet radio station in the world, Revolution Radio. And our website is freedomslips.com. And today is my 72nd birthday, October 2nd.
Oh, wow. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you, darling. I was born in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Huh.
I think it was Old Greenwich. I'm not sure. So, and this is my 322nd consecutive Friday night show in a row without missing one, although I didn't know if I'd make it. After a couple of doses of kale pectate, I think I can do it.
Well, I hope you can too.
Oh, God. Well, after you hear what I have to say, you'll probably be glad that I did make it. But See, today I had to go to Bangor for a CAT scan of my lungs because my lung doctor, this very top doctor from India, he keeps thinking that the little scars from my bacterial pneumonia are going to turn into cancer any minute. So he does, every 6 months, he does a CAT scan. Well, I started using crutches again, and all of a sudden I got this sharp pain. Even if I just lift a cup of coffee with my right hand, it hurts from the edge of my right armpit to my collarbone. And that crosses the upper lobe of the lungs. So I'm like, ah, because I had, in 2016, I had a blood clot in my lung. And that's sort of what it felt like. So I called up his medical assistant and I said, when he looks at the scan, he's not going to call me and talk to me about the scan until next Tuesday. I said, when he looks at the scan, see if I have a blood clot, because, you know, he can call me up on the phone. I'll be right there in Bangor, tell me to leave the CAT scan area, go around the other side of the hospital and check myself into intensive care. So I was worried, you know, and I've had a Charlie horse since last Sunday at 12 noon, and that's odd, but I used to drink a quart of milk every night, and so I was getting lots of calcium, and now I'm not. So Janet gave me like 4 calcium pills this week, but she, there's no rhyme or reason. She gave me 2 one day and 2 on another day, and none for the last 3 days or 4 days. But anyway, so people are going, well, because my right calf looks swollen compared to my left calf. So they're going, well, maybe you have a blood clot there and it's breaking apart and parts of it are going into your lung. So I'm like, oh, great, you know, but I am scheduled for a CAT scan on Friday of my lungs. So if something's really wrong, he can look at it and give me a call. Well, he didn't call, so, and I had the CAT scan. That was exciting because I showed up at what used to be Eastern Maine Medical, EMMC, and now it's called Northern Lights Eastern Maine Medical. So don't you love it when they have to add names to it because they became a big corporation and they bought up other hospitals and now the other hospitals are like Northern Lights Ellsworth Memorial Hospital. You know, so they just keep adding more words to it. So anyway, I showed up and I went in the entrance in a wheelchair. Because for the last 2 weeks, I haven't been able to walk more than 2 or 3 feet without great difficulty and pain and the danger of collapsing. So.
Well, you're just in great shape, aren't you?
Yeah, so I got shortness of breath and,
You feel like feeling sorry for yourself today? Is that it?
No. Because I just don't picture myself as being ill in any way, but my body keeps saying maybe you are. So I show up there and I come in the wheelchair and they're like, take my remote temperature. And have you been with or near or close to anyone? And then they list 1,000 things and then they say, do you have? And then they list 1,000 things. So last thing he listed was diarrhea, and I thought, I'm not going there. So he said shortness of breath, and I said, oh, I've got that. And I said, that's why I have to breathe with my mouth open, and I'm not going to wear a face mask in this hospital. Oh, you're not? No, I'm not, because I don't get enough oxygen as it is, and if I cover my nose and my mouth with a mask, you might as well... I'll do that, but just give me oxygen. And, well, who's your provider? I said, there's no provider. It's a CAT scan at the hospital. Oh, well, we're going to have to check and see what we have to do about you. And they go, for your safety, we're putting you outside. Well, isn't that nice? I'm in a wheelchair. And they shove me out the door where it is probably 55 degrees, 40 mile an hour wind, and pouring rain.
Oh, jeez. I would like to know the logic behind that one, no matter how they say it.
Oh, yeah, you got to love this whole system, you know. So after 20 minutes, they come and get me, and they go, here's a brand new acrylic mask, it's yours. And here's a cloth mask, and if you're going to hold the cloth mask in your right hand, and if you're going to sneeze, put it under the acrylic mask and cover your mouth and your nose. And I'm like, oh, you want me to fake that I have a cloth mask? Well, we're not saying that. Well, okay. So then they took me in to the CAT scan, gave me a CAT scan, and it was supposed to be at 1 o'clock, and it was at 1:15, and 1:30 I was leaving the hospital, so that didn't take long, and the doctor never called, so therefore I have to assume that I do not have a blood clot, and what it is the pain from not using crutches for 3 years to start using them again.
Well, that's down one.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you said you had a birthday, so what did you do today? I want to know.
Well, I was on a visit to Bangor for the hospital, so we left early, we came home late, and we picked up a ribeye dinner, and of course, I'm scared to eat more than like a small bowl, a couple of tablespoons, so I had some ribeye and some yam and some Caesar salad with romaine lettuce and a chunk of oatmeal bread. And but I, you know, I gave Janet my credit card and told her, go in the Sam's Club and make yourself happy.
Well, never tell a woman that. You just, well, you know, if you hand them the card, hey.
Right. Well, anyway, she's really good, so she only spent $50.
I'm just saying.
I know. Oh, there's some women I wouldn't even let them know I had a credit card. I mean, a debit card. Wouldn't even ever mention it. It'd be one of my secrets for life.
Well, you're getting all kinds of happy birthdays here in chat, so they're wishing you well.
Well, that's nice. Who are some of them?
Well, let me see here. We got Alaska Man. We got Dry Fly Guy. We've got Comet. We've got Basement 5. Rockstar is around. Omega Logos is around. Are you gonna last through this show tonight?
Oh, I sure hope so.
My gosh.
God. You know.
Get yourself cleared out now.
Yeah. So I think I'm gonna last. And I do have some interesting things to say about, you know, the major subject this week is Donald Trump. So.
Well, okay.
We did talk about that, but before I get there, I want to say that you should be making a donation by going to freedomslips.com and make at least a $5 donation. And if you have a kind and generous heart, make it reoccurring. And then Janet and I have our own donation mailing address set up. That's P.O. Box 51, like Area 51. Ellsworth, Maine, ELLSWORTH, Ellsworth, Maine, 04605. And,
okay.
We haven't been, this week, but we're going tomorrow. So, find out if anybody's done anything nice for my birthday, sent me a cake or something.
Oh, how nice.
Well, I don't. Nobody's ever sent me a cake. How do you even mail a cake?
Well, why would you expect a cake to be mailed to you anyway?
I don't know what people do. I've gotten some other things. I've gotten some very nice things. Totally unexpected.
Well, and see, that's the way it should be.
I like it when people send presents for my cats.
Oh.
Because if the cats are, it's like if Janet's happy, then I'm happy. So that made my birthday a nice day, the fact that.
Yeah. So what did Janet give you today? You gave her the card.
Well, she drove me to Bangor to the doctor's appointment, pushed me around in a wheelchair. And I'm like the navigator co-pilot because she gets anxious and then she forgets what her next step is. So I'm like sitting there going, okay, we're getting close. You're going to be making a right-hand turn and about in the next traffic light, you're going to go make a right. Oh, thank you. I forgot. So, I have to be the co-pilot. So she didn't actually get me anything, but just the week of this week where she helped me immeasurably.
Oh, that's good.
It's worth $1 million.
That's good. I hope you told her that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I always very appreciative. I'm a very appreciative boyfriend. I always tell her every day that I love her, that she's precious cargo, that she means the world to me, and that I couldn't do it without her, and that she's been so helpful.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So I didn't eat anything. I ate a big dinner on Sunday because we went to Belfast to have lunch with Janet's son and grandson. And the daughter-in-law had a mask on sitting next to me in the restaurant, which is not required. I said, would you please take that mask off? I mean, they're so submissive to the whole program of masks and, the virus is going to kill us all. And he just finished some electroshock therapy, which didn't help. He's still depressed.
And James' grandson doesn't talk anymore. He just plays video games. He doesn't read, doesn't like to read, doesn't like to write.
How old is he?
9. I told you know, the daughter-in-law, when I was 9, I was reading, like, a book every single morning before I went to school. I taught myself to speed read, and I was reading a 150 to 200-page book every morning. And
but, you know, reading has become passé.
Okay, but, you know, they're not going to school anymore. They're supposedly at home learning remotely, which I have my doubts about most people succeeding with that. I'm sure there are some that really are succeeding, but I think most of them aren't.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he didn't talk, like I said, I haven't seen you in a year, Liam. Say hi to Grandpa Gordon. So he looked down at the floor, and he looked to the wall on the other side of the restaurant, and then in a low voice, considering there was music playing on the audio system, and there was, you know, people there, stuff happening, restaurant sounds. And then he, while he was looking away from me down at the floor, he goes, "Hi." So I was like, oh, man, if I could get my hands on this kid, I would teach him to have conversations. Because my mother normally had parties for 200 people. Instead of sending me upstairs to disappear, she would put a little bow tie on me and send me down. And when I started reading at age 7, I was reading the Roswell case and all about astrology and Edgar Cayce and psychics and the future. So I couldn't wait to talk to all these famous composers and writers and authors and artists that were in my mother's circle that she would invite over for these alcohol-fueled parties. She was quite the socialite. So I had, like at age 5, there's no way there's no way I'd go skiing because you might break a leg. But stand up in front of 10,000 people and talk to them normally, no problem. You know what I mean? So I got socialized really young, and he doesn't get that. You know, they're in a staycation at home. Both of them work for the state, but they both can work from home.
So what do you think's going on in this little guy's head?
Well, I know for a fact he's a genius. I gave him a set of socket wrenches. His father gave him a bicycle. Do you think he learned how to ride the bicycle? No, he took the wrenches out and took the bicycle completely apart. Even the smallest little gear parts inside the wheels. Everything. Took it completely apart to study it. Worked, and then he put it all back together perfectly. Then he learned to ride it.
Wow. Yeah, he needs some mentorship. He needs Grandpa.
Yeah, and see, another thing, this is what my mother did, which has helped me so much, which if you have grandchildren, try this on them, or if you're younger and you have children, try this. And my mother, we used to get like 4 or 5 newspapers every day, mostly from New York City, but also local. And because we only live 55 miles from New York. So she put a stack of newspapers in front of me. She said, "You got to be at the table at 5:30 or 6. Put the stack of newspapers in front of me, and she'd be cooking dinner, and she'd go, "Now tell me the news." She didn't say, "Read me the news." She said, "Tell me the news." So I'm like, "Ah." So I'd scan through the different articles, and if there was one that I liked, I'd read it. And then I'd sit there and translate what I had just read into a conversation telling her that information. Well, that made me, that trained me for life on, you know, taking some information and communicating it into something that I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And I think that's an invaluable thing, you know, and it's easy because you're cooking dinner every night, the kid's sitting there. Have him do something, and that will help him because he can learn to read faster. He can look through there and see what articles he likes. I don't care if it's soccer at his school or a canoe race or whatever, you know, national news. I don't care. Whatever interests him is fine. Just find something interesting, read it, and then tell me about it. That is invaluable, and I've told so many parents that, but Janet's son and daughter-in-law do not get that idea at all. So I wish they did. If I had them, I would take them to meet people and say, okay, we're going to have a conversation with this person, Liam. Because Janet's son is not a talker either. He works at the Department of Labor. They have like 2,000 cubicles right up against each other. He's somewhere in the middle of the cubicle forest. You look in the door, and all you can see is head sticking up against cubicles. Well, now the place is empty because everybody's working from home on their computer. And he doesn't talk to people. He just does spreadsheets for the Department of Labor. So he's not getting a lot of communication experience with, you know, and to be able to express yourself, like just to tell somebody what your needs are or what your likes are, your wishes or your hopes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, socialization is a gradual thing. You can't literally just put somebody in front of somebody else and say, okay, now we're going to talk.
Yeah, I don't think
that doesn't work very well.
It's going to happen in one session, but let's say if I had him for 2 years, you can bet he'd be more talkative when we were finished. Because, like, his father says all he wants to do is play video games. Well, okay.
Well, of course. Of course he does, because that's all he knows to do.
Right.
At this point. Yeah. Well, you should just invite them up to the mountain for a while.
Yeah, but they won't come because, oh, we might get the COVID virus.
No, so. I mean, wouldn't they let your grandson come up and visit you? Just him?
Well, Janet could go pick him up, but they won't let that happen.
Oh, okay. So.
It's a tough situation because the father is depressed. And the mother is like, I saw the stress. Her whole body behavior was stressful. And, you know, she just seems stressed out to the max because she's in charge of making sure he's getting his remote learning. Because Janet's son, when he gets depressed, just goes to bed. And once he's finished with his state work, he just goes upstairs where he has his own room. He can shut the door, didn't have to talk to anybody, and just lays in bed and go, oh, moaning, you know. So, great, you know, and he thought...
Yeah, I think that is happening a lot these days with family situations.
Yeah, and so he thought electroshock therapy was going to be the magic button. You know, but we've been telling him since the beginning. I mean, I came into the family 30 years ago when he was 14. Now he's 44. And Janet was going through deep talk therapy when I met her, and we just kept finding better and better doctors. The one she has now is fantastic. Is interested in everything Janet has to say, loves Janet, says you can call me 24 hours a day at home if you need to talk. I mean, so then Janet took her grandson up the street, and he didn't talk on the way up the street, and then there was a really expensive toy store, and he started running around the toy store, and she could hear him from like 10 feet away going, boy, that's expensive. And she never got a hug. Her son and his wife did both hug Janet. But
well, see, there's always hope.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is the doctor tells Janet, just trust.
Yeah.
But, you know, accept them and love them and things will work out, you know.
Yeah. They've got the door open just slightly, you know.
But now that he's tried every pill in the world and he's tried electroshock therapy, he's going to have 6 sessions, but I think he ended up having 24 sessions, but it didn't work. So it's back to whenever it comes up, which it never does, maybe once a year, to tell him you've got to have a good psychiatrist to talk to.
Well, maybe it's not anything to do physically or emotionally. Maybe it's to do physically. You know, we're surrounded with so much of this energy stuff.
No, he was molested as...
Oh, okay.
A 9-year-old, he's never gotten over it.
Well, he's never dealt with it.
Right, and a good psychiatrist would, and he's never told his wife.
Oh my!
If you have a partnership with a woman, or you know you're married, you would think that you would share every little detail of your life with your partner. So, they both graduated from Colby, so neither of them some stupid, you know, street person. You know, share it with them, let them help make suggestions, you know, but, so I don't know. So that was, Janet was nervous on the way down there and her hands were shaking. Well, we had a nice dinner. I had steamed mussels and like a lobster roll without the roll. It was lobster meat in a big, not a big, but a good-sized romaine lettuce leaf.
Mm.
But anyway, it was delicious, and I didn't get any high fat, you know. I wasn't dipping the mussels
yeah.
in butter, and I wasn't, didn't have...
Yeah.
They said mayonnaise, but you couldn't even find it. If I had tried to wipe it off each piece of lobster, there probably wouldn't have been anything. So I felt confident about that. So I didn't have diarrhea. I made it down there, didn't have a problem. Made it home, didn't have a problem. But then I had this cramp in my right calf. And I'm like, oh, what is this? So anyway, then I thought, well, I'm not going to eat anything Monday or Tuesday. So I didn't eat anything Monday or Tuesday. So then... yeah, I did, actually. I had some meatloaf Monday night, and then I had corned beef hash on Tuesday. So on Wednesday morning, I had a normal poop, and I'm thinking, wow, now things are better.
Are we going to go back to the pooping thing? I think we had enough of that last week already.
Okay, well, anyway, that I drank a whole cup of Smooth Move tea. I let the tea bag steep for hours, and then I drank it. Well, I love the taste of that licorice root. But that's what you call a laxative. So
yeah.
It was a disaster Wednesday night. Janet spent 2 hours cleaning me up, and the next day we both, luckily it happened on a concrete floor. So we took
out my.
And we used bleach and soap to get it up on Thursday morning. So, okay. I'm like, well, that's the last cup of Smooth Move tea I'm ever going to have, although it's got to be the tastiest tea I've ever tasted in my life. I just have to stay away from it. I can't.
Yeah, but there's other good teas out there that would do you some good.
Well, I love coffee, so.
Well, I don't think coffee right now. You know they do coffee enemas, so I'm not sure that's the way to go either.
Yeah, well.
I'm just saying. If you got a lot of stuff going on and rolling already, I'm not sure I would do a whole lot of coffee.
So Thursday night, I don't do a lot of coffee. I do half a cup in the morning of thin black coffee. Anyway, so Thursday night I took care.
Okay, let's back up a second. You were talking about this tea thing. So how much tea, first of all, of that were you drinking?
One bag steeped for hours in a cup to bring out that licorice root flavor that I love.
Okay.
I probably should have dipped the tea bag in the hot water for maybe 10 seconds, not 4 hours.
Oh, okay. So when you do things, you always do it with gusto, and there
yeah.
you go. Yeah.
Love this stuff, so I'm going to drink it. You know.
Yeah. Well, of course.
So, you know, if Janet wasn't here helping me, I mean, I might as well just, I don't know, give up. So I really love her, and I try and do everything I can to help her in every way that I can, which has become more limited because they took my driver's license away, and I was the better of the two drivers. It was me. And I was not afraid to drive through any city. You know, New York, Hartford, Boston. She won't go even near Portland, and she certainly won't go south of Portland. So, okay, but that's okay. We're not really missing anything, and there's nothing, you know, we've both been in New York all we ever needed to be. And my mother and father died, my brother died, so there's no reason to head south to Connecticut or New Jersey. So, you know.
All right. So let's move on.
Yeah. So so then I thought, well, I wonder if this ribeye today is going to stay down. So I took more kaopectate. I actually like the flavor of that stuff. If it wasn't a laxative, I'd probably buy a bottle of it and just sip on it because it's kind of chalky kind of a taste that I really like.
Yeah.
Some people don't like that kind of a flavor, but I do. So,
yeah.
Okay. Now, we have an email address. The whole agenda
at freedomslips.com. And Christian, who is so nice, he's been helpful too, you know. And he sent me some money for the wall. He's the biggest contributor so far. And, you know, he's always sending me texts, and I enjoy everything he sends me, except when he sends me links for cat pictures. I don't have the patience or the interest to click on links because I have to, you know, use the magnifying glass, and then I have to wait for it to go to the...
Oh, you absolutely have to see some of them. You just do.
But if somebody if somebody would email Christian and say, hey, I will download it, all those pictures and send them to you, and you can forward the pictures to Gordon, then I look at every one of them because I love cats. What can I tell you? We went by the cat shelter in Bangor today, and I'm like, I just want to go in there and get a whole armload of cats. I do.
Well, how does it turn out on the Skype? Because I Skyped over a couple of photos to you.
Great.
Oh, okay. All right. So it works on Skype then?
Oh,
where
yeah.
Where you can see it? All right.
Yeah, it's the greatest thing
okay.
ever.
Okay. I'll send some over to you. We have one guy in here. His name is Flippy. And and this is the perfect moment to do this. Flippy needs kudos for all of the wonderful findings of these cat links that he finds. He does more to energize our chat room at times than you would ever believe. He just brings a lot of funny
that
things.
Because it's like cheers everybody up,
gets
you in a happy mood, shows your heart of love.
Yep, and that's why I'm saying, Flippy, you do well, and it is not missed by me in all that you do. And I'm sure others feel the same way.
I've seen three of the pictures. One of a kitten with a mask on that was sad. Then two pictures you sent on Skype. So they're very nice pictures. I enjoy them.
Yeah, but he does this every day. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the ones that you were sent through Kristen, they are the Flippy pictures.
I'm sure they are because I got a long list of links.
Yeah, and I was surprised that so many were over there.
Let's say that I needed a friend, and I said to you that I needed a rock-solid friend that I could really depend upon. You said, well, I have this friend, Flippy. Would you like to meet him? I go, just based on that name, no.
Well, there's a lot of us in here that don't have regular names. And by the way, speaking of not having regular names, Popsicle Toes is wishing you a happy birthday.
Oh, Popsicle Toes. So she likes to have her toes sucked. Really?
Really? I never, you know, it only takes a man to think of those things. Really?
Where do you put a popsicle and what do you do with it?
I really had not really thought about it. Not in those terms. Like I said, it takes a man to think of all this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
I don't see that as a problem. I mean, some women will like, you go kiss them and they stick their toe in your face. So you're like,
oh. Okay. Well, whatever.
Yeah. So
this is supposed to be a PG-rated haven't been too PG-rated all night in chat, I don't think. We've had our moments tonight.
Yeah. So let's see here. Now, so email Christian, you know, send him stuff. Send him comments. Do you, you know, keep in touch. Because whatever you send Christian and Diane Eagle Flower, they send it to me. So, you know, it does get to me, and I do appreciate it. And when I don't have major depression from what's going on in the world and I aren't, like, going up and down with my health, then I can enjoy life a little more. You know, but that's the normal me. I've just been going... This last week was the week from hell, really.
Well, I think we might find a few cat pictures to send over and they kind of concur. It's been hell week.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay, let's see. We've gotten... Oh, weather. Yeah, I already talked about the weather. I think I did. That it's rained and then cold and windy every single day. Oh, that reminds me. Yes, I have to tell you this. So 5 years ago, a trillions and trillions of really bad caterpillars, moths, blew in. I guess the year before, because they laid eggs, and all the eggs hatched, and everything turned brown. First of all, there were white houses where people showed me pictures of it. You couldn't see even the roof. You couldn't see the windows, the walls, the siding, the porches, all covered with these brown caterpillars. And the road was covered like 2 inches thick with writhing caterpillars. The state had to come out and sand the road because people were sliding right off the road like they were on a sheet of ice. And these caterpillars were up in the oak trees, which was what they were looking for. We have oak forests here in Hancock County. And they devoured all the leaves on the oak trees. Well, that was a drought that summer, so the trees didn't even put out new leaves that year. They were dead. And now it's the fifth year, and the bark is peeling off. So you know the next step is the branches falling. Well, great if it's a 5-foot tree, but these trees are 100 to 150 feet tall. And they've got branches that arch over the road. So the power line is on one side or the other, but then there are houses where the power line goes across the road to connect to that house. And so if any of these tree branches come down, somebody's going to die, because I would say the smallest oak tree branch that could come down would be 500 to 1,000 pounds.
Wow.
So I watched them die, and I'm thinking, well, somebody's got to come along the road here and cut these trees. And then now I'm watching the bark peel off. Well, that's a really bad sign, because the next step is the branches dropping. So I decided to call the Department of Transportation. And I'm like, oh, we're just a local office. We don't have a budget. We're just peons. We do what we're told. And I said, well, you can make a report and get something started. Well, no, not really. I'm thinking, what idiots are you? I said, can't you call the big cheeses? And they go, actually, the big cheeses are here in the office right now. And I'm like, well, grab one of them and let me talk to them on the phone. No, they don't want to talk to you.
Been there, done that. They don't want to talk to you.
So, well, I've never spoken to any of them before. I've outsmarted the DOT several times. So they don't know it was me, though. But, like, for years there was this rock that was probably 5 feet in diameter, and it just kept pushing up through this road surface where I went more and more, like an inch or two every year. So you'd go over that, and they'd pave right over it. So it was like a ramp, you know, and your car would leave the ground. But usually only on one side, passenger side, as you're going uphill, you go over this rock, and the right side of the car would go up in the air. So finally, I went to the hardware store, and I bought a can of fluorescent orange upside-down paint. And when nobody was going down the road, I put all these zigzag lines that looked like lightning bolts all around the rock, and a circle around the rock with a big X over it. So I go, well, I wonder if that will cause the Department of Transportation to do anything. Well, the next day they were there with an excavator, dug the rock up, filled it in, paved it. It's never been a problem ever since. So I figured out they must have figured that the big cheeses had come through and marked that, and they were going to get a memo saying that they had to fix that, but they would be really smart to beat the bosses to the punch by removing the rock first. I'm like, oh, Finally, they said, well, if you call Bangor, that's where they do the budgeting and they do the investigations and they write reports and they plan out what money's going to be spent. And so you got to report this to Bangor. So I call Bangor, and the woman's like, which tree is this? I said, no, let me state this again. It's 3 miles of huge oak trees overhanging the highway, and they're about to start dropping branches and kill people. Oh, what's your name? What's your telephone number? I'm like, okay. So I give them that, and I said, this is not something that you can just send one person out to cut down a branch or a tree. This is something for a crew of like 5 cutting and chipping crews with cherry picker cranes to spend 2 months.
Oh, wow.
Getting rid of these trees. And, oh, you know, we can't touch any that are over the power lines. I said, well, over the power lines is a debatable phrase because the trees are so huge, the branches stretch 40 feet across the road. The road's only like 20 or 30 feet wide, I mean, let's say 25 feet wide.
Sounds like you're calling the wrong people.
No. So they said, well, yeah, we should, where is this? So I told them. And then I said, look, I'm a trial lawyer. And the second that somebody dies, where one of these branches come down and kill them, then I'm going to call up the family and say, I warned you on September 29th, and you did nothing. And I'm going to make sure that they have the biggest lawsuit you've ever seen in your life against you, because you were warned and you did nothing. And they go, well, you're a trial lawyer. And I said, yes. And they go, what's your last name? So they wrote that down. They go, well, where is this? So I told them again, okay, we're going to have to send a crew out to survey it and then write up a report and then come up with a budget. And then we're going to have to get funds from the state. And then we're going to have to hire the crews and have them work on it. Well, I said, well, gee, that sounds pretty good. But they said, you know, we can't do any branches that are above the power lines. I said, almost every branch is above a power line. And they go, well, we can't do that. So you better call the power company. So I called the power company and they go, we noticed that there's some dead trees there. I said, there aren't some dead trees. There's 3 miles of overarching dead oak trees. Oh, well, we only do the ones that are over the power lines. I said, come and look for it yourself. From both sides of the road, they're all over the power lines. Well, you know, people come out, they run out, and they go, don't cut that tree. It's on my property. You know, just cut it back. I said, these trees are dead. They're going to fall. Some of these are 100, 150 feet tall. They weigh tons. You know, we're a ways from the tree itself falling over, but these branches are huge. You've got to do something. Oh. So then they made a report. So I hope I've gotten them jump-started, but I don't know. We'll see. But that was my public service on the 29th. Do you know, Janet was going to go out on Wednesday afternoon, and I said, with a 70-mile-an-hour wind, you don't want to be near that road.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you said that you had some news.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, did everybody see the debate on Tuesday?
And yes, we all saw it. Without a doubt, we all saw it and heard it.
Yeah, I thought so. So I was thinking, this cannot be good. And, of course, it was awful. Awful. So as it went on, I'm realizing, you know, Donald Trump's against 3 forces here. It's 1 against 3. The first thing he's against is the format. Format was the most awful format. Second of all, Chris Wallace is a Democrat, and he's not in favor of Trump at all. And so the format was causing problems. Then Chris Wallace was causing problems. And then Joe Biden was pretending to have dementia. He was causing problems. So I'm watching this, and I'm getting more and more stressed. I'm like, why am I watching this? I'm going to have a heart attack. I love Donald Trump. What are they doing to him here? How come he's even here participating in something this bad? So I was thinking,
I don't know if any good can come of this. And, you know, Trump got some great little points in there, like Joe Biden mentioned SMART, and Trump goes, don't talk about SMART. You can't even remember what college you went to. When you went to Syracuse Law School, you graduated almost at the bottom of your class, and you were suspended for a while for plagiarism. So don't you ever mention the word SMART around me ever again. Well, I like stuff like that. But then, you know, they were really getting into the Hunter Biden stuff. And Joe was talking about, well, my son Bo served in Iraq and won a couple of medals. And then he came back to Delaware and became attorney general. But the thing was, it wasn't Bo they were talking about. Donald Trump was talking about Hunter, who was kicked out of the Navy twice for cocaine use.
Yeah, we all know that.
And then Bo got cancer, and Hunter started screwing Bo's wife. And Bo found out that his wife was unfaithful, and they got a divorce before he died of cancer. And then Hunter married Bo's ex-wife, and then got two different women pregnant, and mistresses pregnant. So he's a real winner, you know. And it just came out this week that the mayor of Moscow's wife wrote Hunter Biden a check for $3.5 million, and nobody's explained what that was for. So, you know, it just gets weirder and more awful and all continuously. So then all of a sudden Chris Wallace is like, well, we're going to change the subject to climate change. Well, if you've been listening to my show, you know there is no climate change. It's Planet X causing Earth wobble, and it's about to cause pole shift. So it has nothing to do with fossil fuels at all. And if anything, the Earth's actually getting a little bit cooler. You know, they said the oceans would be buried Miami and New York by now, but they haven't, have they? So, and more snow keeps falling on the Arctic and Antarctic, but yet the oceans are going up about a degree Celsius. And that's because the North Pole Planet X is pointed at the Earth's equator, and it's roiling, R-O-I-L-I-N-G, roiling the magma, which makes it circulate faster under the crust, and that's warming up the ocean bottoms. So if there is any melting going on in the glaciers, if you look, it's all from the bottom of the glacier because the ground is getting warmer. So Trump tries to change it to forest management, which is a really good point because California hasn't managed its forests in 30 years. And now all the brush and undergrowth is burning. And the obvious solution is to clear it out. And these fires are huge. And they're so damaging. And they burned up Napa Valley this week. I haven't followed every detail of it, but I heard one night that the firemen said the Napa Valley fire had exploded into three times the size, and they have no control over any part of it. And I'm thinking, oh, great. You know? And then people go, well, the reason why it's burning is because the earth is warmer and the stuff is drying out. Well, maybe in California, because of the earth wobble, they do have more of a drought than we have in the east. But don't forget that millions and millions of acres were killed by a beetle that eats pine trees. And they just left the forest standing there dead.
You have to remember that there has been a huge amount of, here's my brain gone on me here, chemtrailing. And everybody up and down the coast has been talking about, you know, they've been having fire starting in the broad daylight. There's been no storm around. Pardon me?
Yes, but you see, you got to realize there's something else going on. The Pacific Plate is pushing under the North American Plate, and there are places that are hot enough to start tires of a car on fire.
Again, the point is also is that there's a lot of weather manipulation going on as well as other tactics, let's just say it that way.
Well,
there's a lot of stuff going on out there.
You're not alone in saying that, but I will say what I think, which is that chemtrails have nothing to do with it.
Well, they certainly do once the fires are started because of all of the residue that's coming down.
No, the residue doesn't burn. It's aluminum and barium. You can take a pile of it and put a torch to it, and it won't ignite. So,
it just dries everything out worse than it already is.
No, it prevents sunlight from overcooking. They were going to chemtrail everything to put poisons in there to kill everybody just before a pole shift. Then people started noticing it. Then the scientists go, well, we're geoengineering the Earth. We're keeping it cool because of global warming. It's overheating. So we're going to block the sunlight. So they've admitted that they're bioengineering the Earth by cooling the Earth with barium and aluminum. Well, okay, fine. But that does not start fires.
I didn't say it started fires. It enhances the fires because of how it affects the Earth.
I don't agree with that at all.
Okay.
Science, but I'm allowing you to say it because I know a lot of people believe that, and so I just want all of you who believe that to tell you that that's not true.
All right.
So.
That's my truth, and I'm sticking with it.
The debate was, sure. What's wrong with all the divisiveness? Everybody's sticking to it.
Yeah.
My sister called me today, and she goes, well, I know the last time we talked, I hung up on you. So, but today is your birthday, so happy birthday, Gordon. I said, thank you, Patricia. And she goes, we just don't need to discuss politics. I said, okay. So then later she got into the COVID virus, and I said, well, that's a scam. And she's like, oh, now you're upsetting me. I've got to go. So bye, Patty. She's 90.
Well, there's something for everybody out there to get upset about.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that goes.
So, anyway, I was thinking, this is the most awful debate. Nothing can come of it for Trump. Probably this will ruin his chances to be reelected. Well, not that bad, but, you know, it didn't help. And Joe Biden, I thought, well, I don't know what he got out of it, but he was constantly digging a hole for himself to fall into, but then Trump would interrupt him. All Trump had to do was be quiet for, well, Biden said a few more sentences and then fell in his own hole. So I was very disappointed, very discouraged. I was so stressed out. I go, I don't even think I can take watching any more debates. That's it. If this is the way they're going to go, they're not for me, because I just love Trump too much and I just can't take this. So, Wednesday happens. So I'm talking to Nancy, leader, who does Zeta Talk, and she goes, did you notice the wire under Biden's tie? I said, no, I didn't. I was looking at a cell phone from 3 feet away, and I was so depressed I was closing my eyes going, oh, this can't be. And so no, I didn't see the wire, and it went under his tie, and he kept readjusting it so that his tie would hide the wire, but it was one of these thin white wires. But then he would hold up his left hand. When he held up his left hand, now a lot of successful people wear very expensive white shirts that go right up to the wrist and are buttoned, or they have a, what do you call those things that you put in your shirt?
I know what you mean. It's too late for me to think.
Yeah. So he's holding up his left hand. And right there, his sleeve drops down. There's no shirt visible. I don't know. Maybe he was wearing a short sleeve. I really don't know what he was doing. His cuff drops down. And there's a metal, it looked like a sewing needle, on his wrist coming out of his cuff. Then he kept looking down. And that's what you do when somebody's telling you something. And then it was like maybe they said, look at the camera, Joe, look at the camera. And then he'd look up and look at the camera. And his eyes seemed a little glassy. So what's going on there? Now, this is not the real Joe Biden. This is the white hat double Joe Biden.
So if they wanted to hide a wire, they could have just down at his waist, they could have put it inside the shirt. And it doesn't come out and go to his ear, but where does it go? And then somebody told me, well, there's a part of your collarbone where if you put let's say you have a headphone and you just put it on there, you can hear that so clearly, even though it's not in your ear, but it's vibrating that bone and it transfers directly to your ear. And so he could have had a speaker, under his collar, on his collarbone that, I have to pet Willow. He's upside down with a smile on his face.
You've got about 2 minutes before break time.
Okay, so, and did you or anyone that's discussed it discuss the wire and the thing in his arm?
Well, the video or the pictures that I've seen, it was actually extending from his right lapel. There was a strip, but that was a definite black strip, the one photo I saw.
I never saw that, but I saw the wire under his tie and then the needle thing on his left forearm that kept appearing every time his jacket cuff would drop down.
Yeah, yeah.
So the question was, there's so many ways to hide things. Why would they make it obvious that he was using a wire and maybe a receiver, too? You know, that was a wireless receiver, that needle under his left wrist. So Nancy said, well, you know, he's a double, and they probably planned to kill him on Halloween, so there's no time to print new ballots. So this is just a lead-up to his troubles, you know. Are these wires to stimulate his heart, or are they wires to regulate the intake of drugs? Maybe he's got a little thing on his chest that if you
okay, there's the sound.
Okay, well, we'll be back. I got a lot more to say.
Engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Whole Agenda Radio Show with your host, Gordon James Gianinotto, and his fabulous producer.
Hello.
Fabulous. Fabulous producer, Diane.
Yeah, okay.
So, I was listening to the Howie Carr Show, and people thought, oh, everybody said, and they're mostly Republican that listen to his show, so that was the worst debate ever, you know, and this and that and whatever. But one guy had a great suggestion. He goes, you know how you take a meeting with the Godfather? So they're like, whoa, how do you take a meeting with the Godfather? Well, the Godfather doesn't let you show up with an overcoat and a suit. You know, you might be wired. So when you meet with the Godfather, you got to meet the Godfather in a pool. So, of course, that's great because that would short out all the wiring stuff. So somebody made a suggestion the next debate should take place in a swimming pool. And then somebody suggested, well, each candidate should appoint their own person to question the other. So Trump should select Tucker Carlson to grill Joe Biden. Who knows who Joe Biden would pick to grill Trump? Maybe John Acosta, who already gets under Trump's skin anyway at CNN. So anyway, I was thinking, well, I'm going to listen to this rally. Now, the rally was Wednesday night in Duluth, Minnesota, and I was watching Right Side Broadcasting Network, which is a great place to watch any rallies. Everyone was wearing winter hats, scarves, neck warmers, winter coats, and they go, oh, it's brutally cold here, and this is the home of winter. This is where winter was born, so this is not surprising. Okay. So Trump was at a meeting somewhere else, and so he came in the Beast, not in Air Force One, Beast, and he parked and ran over and jumped up on the stage and started speaking while his voice was hoarse. And they go, oh, this is not good. And he just had a suit on, and I'm like, you know, he's going to give himself pneumonia. We had a president that gave his inaugural speech in a heavy, cold rainstorm in January and died of pneumonia 3 weeks later. He never got to do anything as president because he was in bed the moment he was inaugurated till he died. So, you know, you don't want to play around with that. I don't know why he wasn't dressed like, probably Alaska Man knows how to dress.
I'm sure he does. There's a few of them in here who live up in the mountains all over the country.
Yeah, and it gets to 65 below here, and people go, how can you live there? And I said, one word. And they go, what word? And I go, clothes.
They help, yeah.
Yeah, you got to have the right equipment for the situation. But then you can be comfortable because you know you're, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, he started off hoarse at the beginning, but it didn't completely clear up, but it did sound better by the end of the rally. But then he said he won the debate. He was really happy with the way it went. And I thought, you know, this is really helpful to me because I was so stressed out. You can't even imagine how stressed out I was. And, I thought, well, if that's how he feels about it, that it went well and he's pleased with it, then that's how I'm going to think about it. So right there, that took a huge weight off my shoulders. I don't know if anybody else realized that he'd said that and if they felt that way too, but I did. So, you know, then he was supposed to do a rally today, and then, it was Orlando today, and then two in Wisconsin on Saturday. So, Rickman, have you ever seen that guy at a rally?
No.
He wears a suit that's a photographic print on cloth of a brick wall.
Oh, okay.
And he has never missed a rally. I mean, the guy must be so wealthy because he's gone to every single Trump rally. And a lot of times Trump will recognize him. Oh, there's Brick Man or the Brick Suit Man. He's a portly kind of a guy. He looks to be about, I don't know what his real age is, but I'd say 50 to 55. And Trump's called him up on stage a couple of times to say a word or two. And he's pretty good. So Right Side Broadcasting Network decided to make Brick Man a co-host of the first rally on Saturday, tomorrow. So I was really looking forward to that, you know. But then all of a sudden this afternoon, breaking news, Trump has been taken to Walter Reed Hospital. He had a bit of a temperature and a sore throat. And because they had announced, what day was it, Wednesday or Thursday, that Melania and Trump were both diagnosed with coronavirus because they took a coronavirus test. And they failed. They have the coronavirus. Well, so Nancy Leader asked the Zetas, what's with that? So this is very interesting, too, because the Zetas said that when the president of Brazil, who was loaded with the coronavirus, came to the White House and hugged the president, he gave the president the coronavirus. And the Trump had already asked the Zetas to keep him healthy, and they intervened and made it so the effects of it were like minimal, and what he's got in his system is antibodies, and some of these tests for corona will test positive if you have corona antibodies in your system. That doesn't mean that you have the coronavirus or that you're going to get sick or that you're going to die, but it means that the test will always show that you've got coronavirus.
That's correct. And that's why so many are coming up positive, because no matter what tests they are using, when nobody will ever answer anyone of what they are actually testing for.
Right.
There we are.
So Trump cancels rallies for the next 2 weeks. Well, he only has 30 days till the election, and he was going to do one, two, or three rallies a day. Remember in 2016, on the night before the election, he did five or six rallies. He did one rally at 1 in the morning in somewhere, Minnesota or Wisconsin. 30,000 people showed up to hear the rally at 1 in the morning. And it was only scheduled like 2 hours earlier. So there's a lot of enthusiasm for Trump. And his rallies are always great, so he didn't tweet today, and off to Walter Reed he went. So his doctor wrote a letter that he published saying that he's got a temperature and a sore throat, and we're treating him with, I can't even pronounce it, I'll try, Reislavar Reklavar. Have you heard of that?
I think it's probably Reklavar. I saw what they were treating him with on another image a while back. I can't get to it right now, though.
Yeah, and originally he had said, like, starting in January or February, that he had been taking hydroxychloroquine for weeks. So,
I'm getting confused here. What did the Zeta say now is going on?
That he's already gotten over the coronavirus. He has immunity to it.
Okay.
But
and
not to worry. So he may be doing this, Nancy said. He may be doing this because it shows sympathy with all of those who have gotten the coronavirus, that he's with them. But in fact, negative Democrats have written emails to each other saying, good, it's about time he gets coronavirus, and I hope he dies. And he's treated it so casually that he deserves to die. And then Republicans are emailing each other saying, well, some of the base has gotten soft, the Trump base, so maybe this will harden it up and if they have a pity party. So I'm thinking, oh, God. You know, because they've done surveys, and like 96% of the Trump supporters wouldn't change their vote for him no matter what happens. They don't care what happens. They're not changing their vote. And 95% of Biden supporters say the same thing. They wouldn't change their vote for Biden no matter what. So,
we are. They're both in quarantine, so to speak. They're off the camera now.
Well, yeah, and so the only ones that are really unaffected, because they've asked the undecideds, what did you learn from the debate? And they all say absolutely nothing. You know, I still can't make a decision. I'm still undecided. And the debate didn't help at all. But what was interesting was the Democratic pundits, like on CNN, go, that was the worst debate ever. It was like a dumpster fire. It was a disaster. And I thought they'd say Joe Biden won. Instead, they were all talking about how poorly handled it was, how the format sucked. And, you know, there were many parts in the debate where three people were speaking at the same time, Chris Wallace, Donald Trump, and Joe Biden. So you couldn't understand a word that was said. So that was a major defect right there. So.
And why did they allow that to happen? To me, it was all, the whole thing was scripted.
That's the moderator's job, Chris Wallace.
No, it just looks to me like the whole thing was scripted, period. I don't care what direction you look at it. That's the way it appeared to me.
Well, it may very well have been, but see, I thought, well, Trump came prepared to be himself, which usually, you know, like that's how he won the Republican primary in the first place in 2016, was by being himself. So now we have three factors against him. The format was bad, really awful format. And then I don't know, I guess that was Fox News or was it just Chris Wallace? Who came up with that format?
Well, that's what they were haranguing about for weeks, was what are the rules going to be?
Right. And the rules were.
Chris Wallace was doing what he was told to do, period. I mean, there is nobody that's in that moderator position who's just winging it, period. It's not going to happen in that level of a so-called debate.
So the question is, what's going to happen? The next one is going to be one of Joe Biden's interns is going to be the moderator. So we'll see what that means. But next week is the vice presidential. And I don't want to watch that either because I love Mike Pence. And there was a guy on Howie Carr going, look, that's not Kamala Harris. He goes, if I were married to Kamala Harris and she came
home looking like she does, I'd say, who are you? You're not my wife. You're not her sister. Who the hell are you? And anyone that looks at the pictures can go, wow, this is a double. What does that mean? And we know that Mike Pence was plotting against the president, and he was executed, and that's a double. So do I really want to see a debate between two doubles? It was bad enough when they've got Joe Biden, who's a double, taking a dementia pill to look like the original Joe Biden, or sound like the original Joe Biden. So I don't know what's going on, but the whole thing is very difficult for me to watch. Maybe because I know too much. Maybe if I was just hit myself over the head with a hammer and go, oh, this is good TV. I don't know.
Well, the one thing I'm surprised you haven't brought up yet, which was a whole lot of discussion here at River Radio, was Biden's black eyes.
Well, that's what I said. His eyes were watery, but I didn't know they
no,
were
no, no. They were solid black.
Really?
Yes. You pull up, I know that you can't do it easily, but pull up that debate and get a close-up of Biden. His eyes, both of them, were solid black.
Well, that's scary as hell.
I'm just saying, and there's been a whole lot of discussion.
Well, I never heard that. So thank you for telling me. Because, there was definitely a few things wrong, and they'll just add that to the list of things that were wrong. But, I don't know if it's the drug they gave him or what they did to make him be Joe Biden. But he is a double, and James Comey has already been executed, but he was appearing in a Senate testimony this week. And they go, well, don't you remember plotting against the president? No, I don't remember anything about that. Well, do you remember working with the FBI to come up with an insurance plan? No, I don't. I just don't recall that. And question after question, every single answer was, I don't recall. Well, of course, that's a double. He wasn't even there. So
in his own mind, he was being truthful.
Well, he was being truthful. He is a double. He wasn't there. And so he doesn't recall.
Well, that's a sorry excuse for a double. I'm sorry. I just don't have a lot of patience with all this double talking.
Yeah, I know.
Double talking by doubles. How about that? Really?
I know. Yeah. So I don't. This to me is going to be the most stressful 30 days I can think of.
Well, my advice to you is just turn the darn TV off and just let it go.
I got to be able to discuss it, and then Nancy Leader calls me up and starts talking about it, and then I've got other friends that call me up, and so I might as well know something. But I'm laying on a couch. I have a little box on the floor. I put the cell phone horizontally on the box. So the cell phone's more than 2 feet from my face. And I'm laying there with my head on a pillow watching this debate. And for most of the scenes I saw was a giant room. And there's these two little cubicles, each with a different candidate in it. And I'm thinking, can't they...
Did I hear a cat or a door?
Yeah, I squeezed that.
Oh, the toy?
Yeah, and he just put his paw right on it. He's going to control it.
Okay, all right.
So anyway, I'm thinking it's a big room. Who designed the shots for this debate? Because I only rarely saw Biden and I'm looking at the wire on his chest, and I wasn't looking at his eyes. But the whole thing was strange, and I'm like, this is like, so really, I guess we just know too much. And when we watch it, it creates this unbelievable stress. Why can't somebody text us the ending of the story? And I go, oh, okay.
Well, you have to keep in mind one thing. You're not feeling real well right now. And you don't need this added stress either, right. At this moment, so.
True, because I don't need it. And, but I like everybody, I like my doctors, I love Janet, I'm getting along with all my friends. And, I don't know what to say. Just doing the best I can under the
situation. Yeah, but any small stress right now is like a hyper stress for your whole body. So
even some a positive change can be stressful.
Yep, that would be true.
Yeah. So let's see where they got the debate. Duluth. No. Walter Reed. Okay. So now let's throw a monkey wrench into the whole thing.
Another one?
Remember the ceremony in the Rose Garden where he introduced Amy Coney Barrett as the Supreme Court nominee?
I saw a picture of it.
Two of the senators and the president of Notre Dame, who's also father somebody or other, and what's her name? Kelly Conway, or is that her name? They all came down with the COVID virus, too. So maybe that's where it was swarming around. And this is the fall. This could be the regular flu, too. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying. But anyway, so now the question is the hearings on Amy Coney Barrett. Now, two members of the Senate Judiciary Committee have the coronavirus. Now, the Judiciary Committee hearings can take place remotely. In other words, one of the Republican senators can use the computers to remotely comment and ask questions and say things. But get this. When it goes to the, when they say, yeah, we approve her selection, then it moves to the floor. Well, in the Constitution, the only way you can have a floor vote for a Supreme Court justice is by being present on the floor. So now, are there going to be enough Republican senators to pass her to the Supreme Court? That's the question.
So the plot thickens.
Yeah, the plot thickens. And they planning to throw it out of committee. The latest they would throw it out of committee is the 22nd, and then they would move it to the floor and have a vote before November 3rd. So
it sure makes you wonder who is putting out all these swabs.
Well, are they going to show up in isolation spacesuits, bubble boys? The bubble boys going to show up for the floor vote?
Well, that's a thought. Why not? I mean, we're doing everything, so I can't even say how I think right now, but this whole business is so backwards, and I'll leave a few words out of there. It doesn't even make sense anymore.
Freaking backwards.
It just doesn't even make sense. The rational person can't even make sense out of any of this anymore. Which, of course, is the whole idea. They want us to get so confused that we don't know.
Well, that's clearly happened now.
Yeah.
There are too many, what do they call that? Too many chefs spoil the stew.
Yep.
Well, we've reached that point where the stew is spoiled. So all I can do is I said a prayer for the president, said a prayer for Melania, said a prayer for the nation. And I'm hopeful that everything's going to work out.
Yep.
It's not up to me. I always have to remember, it's not up to me. If it were up to me, there'd be a lot of things to be different. But it's not up to me.
But see, that's why I keep coming back that Trump is part of, he's playing his role in this whole confusion business also. That's what I saw from that debate and what's happened since then. And I don't know how that adds in or figures into anything else that's going on out in the world, but.
Well, I'm wondering whether if Joe Biden dies at the end of October, they go, well, Trump almost died, so I guess that's not too unusual.
There's all kinds of possibilities, but none of them make a whole lot of sense in how aggravating they're making the whole business.
Right. And, so you've listened to a lot of Revolution Radio, and what would you say the consensus is of people who have been listening?
All I can say is now that this business today of where President Trump was taken and his wife, I would guess that there's probably at least 10 different scenarios about what's really going on. That's my guess. At least 10.
I heard another, you know, some astrologers and people. Now he's been in office too long and the demons are...
bizarre on, and it's like everybody is just spending too darn much time trying to plot and plan, because in my opinion, that's exactly what they want us to do. And so I'm not getting into that. How, as a country, are we supposed to keep calm and quiet when they keep dragging us around like a little wet puppy? It just, you know in your gut.
Well, it's like you're in a torture chamber. You're chained to the wall, and they come in and splash you with water and slap you around every...
That's right. And we have the option of not getting caught up into that. It's not that I don't want to know what's out there. Don't get me wrong on how I'm saying this. What I'm saying is that we have to maintain our own presence of mind and firmness within the resolve, I think probably would be a good way of saying it. And we just have to do it that way. And we aren't going to like a lot of the shenanigans that is going on, and that truly is what it is, it's shenanigans. But I just see it as being played from both sides. So I don't know who's dealing the deck. At this point, I don't know.
Well, I think it's the white hats at the Pentagon, but I don't know either.
Well, see, and we can guess and plot and plan from now until next year, and we still aren't going to have the answer. Yes, we can be curious. Believe me, I am a curious person. But I just don't think it's going to do ourselves any good.
Right. So are you planning to watch the vice presidential debate next week?
No. I have no desire to. First of all, it's all going to be pre-scripted. And it could either be a laugh a minute or not. It could be a disaster like this previous one we had just had earlier this week.
Kamala Harris is a laugh a minute, but I've never seen Mike Pence be a laugh a minute.
Well, they're just, frankly, in my mind, there were too many oddities from both sides that were going on the presidential debate. And there's all kinds of reasons given as to why that happened that way and this way and so on. But I know a couple of times when I was hearing the debate, I heard the clicking on and off. Now, nobody has ever mentioned that. But I did hear somebody was clicking President Trump's microphone. Because he was still talking and you couldn't hear what he was saying. But I haven't heard anybody talking about that part. The mere fact that the demeanor, the rapport that was going on in the so-called debate, I just can't imagine that we even call it a debate. There was no debate.
I wouldn't call it rapport either.
Well, the point of the matter is, after hearing this, I thought to myself, we would have had a better debate without a moderator there, period.
Yeah, I think so. Because
the moderator did everything he could to interfere at any juncture that he could.
I have no respect for Chris Wallace, and I haven't for a long time.
But I'm just saying, you know, leaving names and personalities out of it, I think, truthfully, that two of them, Biden and Trump, would have had some sort of a discourse going on, certainly better than what we saw. So what was the purpose of that? I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, it was bad, and I guess we're just never going to find out the answer to that.
Well, the point, again, you know, they say that, well, President Trump had to defend himself, and he had to do this and had to do that. Well, he's the president. He's the president.
You call the president a clown twice. You don't do that. You don't call him a fool. You don't call him the worst president ever.
You know, there's a lot of Joe Biden name calling there that was.
Oh, absolutely. Sure there was. Yeah. And President Trump did his licks too. But for them, that's my whole point. For them to have each of them or both of them act like that, that's just totally off the wall.
Like two children fighting, like you have two brothers.
Yeah.
You walk in the room and that's what they're doing and you separate them.
Yeah. It's like fighting over the same toy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't think we're going to figure that out for a long time if we ever do. Because at this point, nobody believes much of anything that anybody is saying.
So, so you change the subject. I guess people are ready for that.
Yeah, we're at that point. We had a heck of a good time earlier in chat tonight because people are tired of all of this, for sure.
Right. So here's something really interesting that came out this week. I told you that this YouTube channel called Spiritually Raw, and the raw is spelled all in capital letters. Spiritual, the S is capitalized, and the rest is in lowercase. So it's Spiritually Raw, raw being... large capital letters. So that's the YouTube channel. They did another video interview of Gene Decode. And this video is called Timelines with Gene Decode. So I would recommend that every single person that's interested in timelines, parallel dimensions, parallel timelines, anything like that.
Do you know how to spell his last name?
Decode?
Yeah.
Decode.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I forgot that. Okay.
Gene.
Yeah.
Decode.
Yeah.
I have no idea what his real name is, but that's what he calls him. So, he said an awful lot that's very interesting, and I'm not going to try and repeat everything he said because a lot of it's very complex, and to understand most of it, you'd probably be better off listening to it two times. It's a 41-minute video, but only the first 30 minutes of the interview with Gene Decode. Then they spend 10 minutes talking about the channel, Spiritually Raw, and podcasts, and all kinds of stuff. So I gather that they have the first part of the interview with on Spiritually Raw on YouTube. And the rest of it is available if you join Patreon or you pay for podcasts or who knows what. I don't care because I'm not doing it. I'm just going to listen to that channel. I subscribe to it. So if you go there, please subscribe to it. I don't care about any of the other people they interview. I only care when Gene Decode comes on because there's an air of truth about that guy. So he says... Well, he starts off pretty much about the timeline where Hillary Clinton won the election. And by now, the entire world would be destroyed. Well, I could believe that. She was going to start World War III, wink, wink, with China. And China was going to end up owning every island, every nation on the Pacific. And the United States was going to end up owning every nation in North and South America, and possibly half of Europe or all of it. But he says that the nuclear war gets out of hand and everything is destroyed. Nature, people, cities, life.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry.
What? What?
Oh, I had something. I was trying to find the source for Gene Decode, and it flipped right on. So I interrupted you accidentally.
What slipped on?
I was looking for Gene Decode so I could put it into chat, but someone else can do that for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's really interesting. So then he talks about parallel... dimensions. Like, let's say last year your daughter was killed in a car accident. can you go to a dimension where she wasn't killed in a car accident last year? And he said, yes, there are infinite timelines and infinite dimensions. And God is who keeps it straight. What's what? And he says that to get a change in something that happens, you have to petition the court of God. And the way you petition the court of God is to put your hands together in prayer. And those are received in the court of God as petitions. Then God will receive petitions from all sides, and then he will schedule he or she, I mean, who knows who God is, will schedule a hearing. And if one side doesn't show up, just like in the Supreme Court or a regular court, if one side doesn't show up, the other side wins. And he said that sometimes that happens. That, and so he said that there are many timelines, but if you go to the timeline where your daughter didn't die last year, everything else about it could be different. So you're really messing with something that you don't know what you're going to end up with.
Right.
And
consequences,
yeah. And so, mm-hmm. like, if he talks about, like, if you went back and killed your grandfather, and then he didn't have your father, then you wouldn't have been born, and the world would, what it would be like without you. But maybe there's a lot more to what your grandfather's children would have accomplished or said or affected other people, and this, the effect of it might just be that you're dead, or you never were born, but it might go way, 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 way beyond that. So it's a very interesting discussion, and he talks about the mandala effect where people think they remember a different past and whether the past was changed or not. And he says that sometimes the past is changed. It depends on how many people petition and who shows up on the other side. And so it does happen that there can be, you can enter another timeline.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting, too.
Well, the impression I'm getting from how you're saying it is that it's not done easily or lightly.
No, it becomes a big matter if enough people submit petitions to the court of God. The more petitions there are, the bigger the matter it becomes. And God will usually find the best resolution for considering everything. So that's hopeful. Because you wouldn't want somebody just randomly changing everything, and all of a sudden your mother wasn't born, or your sister wasn't born, or, you know.
Well, if our mother wasn't born, we wouldn't be either, so.
Yeah, but if you're a soul that came from the universe, you might have been born to, maybe your father would have married somebody else, and you still would have been born to that family, and that he'd still be your father.
I know, but it would be a different line altogether, wouldn't it? I would think it would be.
Yeah, your mother would be different.
But yeah, and it'd be a different personality, most likely. There'd be a whole different set of rules and...
Yeah, everything would be different, clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
Some changes would be noticeable and big, and others would slip right by you and you wouldn't notice them at all.
Yep.
So I was listening to these scary stories, and this girl had her tonsils out. And she came home, and the stitches ripped out, and she started bleeding really badly. She was coughing up all kinds of blood. So her mother decided to bring her to the emergency room. So in the emergency room, she says they cauterized the wound, which we know what that is. You use extreme heat and seal the bleeding blood vessels by burning them. So the bill for that was $800, and the doctor gave her a spray to use in her throat that would help stop the bleeding. So she goes home. She seems like she's okay. She goes to bed. She wakes up. She's coughing up blood again. So she gets the spray out. She keeps spraying, and nothing happens. And finally, she... Now, remember, this is a scary story that I was listening to. This is not a true situation, as far as I know. But when you hear what happened, maybe it is a real situation. So, you know, maybe if you submit a petition to the Court of God and it's a minor matter and the other side doesn't comment on it at all, God will grant it. You just never know, based on all these things Jean Decode is saying. So that's why I'm mentioning this story, because before she had her tonsils out, her sister had a cat that they all loved. The cat was really loving and loved her, the tonsillitis girl, a lot. And then the cat died before she had their tonsils out. And she and her sister buried it, gave it a really nice ceremony out in the yard and buried the cat. And so when she went to have her tonsils done, she missed her sister's cat that had died. So she's lying in bed thinking, I'm going to bleed to death. I can't tell my mother that I'm still bleeding because we don't have the money for the $800 hospital bill, emergency room bill. And if we have to go back, it's going to be probably that much or more. You know, I just can't do that to my mother. So she lays back in bed, and she folds her hands, and she goes, well, I guess I'm going to die tonight. But I have one wish. If I do die, could I come back in a parallel dimension where I didn't die, and I can still have the same mother and the same sister? And that's how she goes to sleep, thinking that thought. So she wakes up in the morning, and she goes into the bathroom, and she coughs up a double handful of blood. And it's all like jelly, and then no more blood comes out. Bleeding stopped. That had accumulated during the night, but then there was no more bleeding, so meaning she's not have a problem anymore. So she washes her mouth out and her hands. She says, well, I think I'll go into the kitchen and have something soft, you know, because she's not supposed to scratch where the stitches were. If she swallows like cereal, she can't eat that. She goes in the kitchen, and her sister's cat is in the kitchen, sees her and meows and comes over and rubs up against her leg. And that's where the story... So did she go to a parallel dimension where she survives her death and now her sister's cat didn't die? And what other changes are ahead of her? But the story ends there, so you never know. But it's... I would call that thought-provoking, but I enjoyed that.
I have a better story than that one.
Let's hear it.
This is a real true one, even. Mm-hmm. I was, some years ago, this is back in the Wolf Spirit days, people were going through different things at that point. And this one guy that I got to know, you know, like through Skype or whatever, he told me what had happened to him. One morning, he woke up, went out, opened up the front door, probably to get a newspaper or something. Right. And he opened up that door and looked down the street, and the whole street was like in 1950s. And he turned around and he looked, because he was just getting up. He turned around and looked, and in the kitchen, everything was back to the 1950s.
Cool.
The equipment, the whatever.
Yeah,
he obviously was totally freaked out. And so he immediately closed the door, because instinctively he knew that if he walked out of the door, he would be back in that time frame.
He didn't want to be. I didn't want to be.
Well, it was a very instinctual thing that he just knew.
Smart.
And so I just felt... I'm sorry, what?
That would lock it in. He'd be stuck there.
Correct. And I had never heard anybody ever speak about opening up a door and literally finding the whole landscape different. And he meant everything. He said there were the 50s cars parked on the street. All the landscaping was different. It was just a whole different place. So he ended up staying inside. And I don't remember now. He may have taken a nap or something, and then he found himself back into what he knew as being this contemporary life that he's in now. I also have a cousin who was driving out in the country, you know, along his farm area, and he was in a rush for some reason. He had to get to town by a certain time, but as he was going by, and these are sacred hills to the Native Americans, or they're actually called buttes, but that particular day when he was in a rush, he drove by the sacred buttes, which was very near where he lived, and they had around them a circle of huge rocks around them. Because he didn't have time to stop, he just kept going. And he told me, he said, you know, if I would have gone out to examine, to look at those, why those rocks were around the butte, I said, would you have come back? And he said, no, I would not have come back. Mm. So we are, shall I say, equipped. If something very unplanned like that happens, we have the option, we have the choice. Are we going to walk into it, or are we going to just stay right where we're at? Now, those are two firsthand.
I think most people, wouldn't you think that most people would stay right where they are? Because at least they know where everything is, who everybody is.
Not necessarily. No. You know, we've got Basement 5 here who's trying to get off planet. If he saw a different time frame, I'm just using him as an example.
Right.
There are people who just are done with it. They're tired of what's going on out there right now.
Well, this week has made me awfully tired of a lot of things.
Yeah, that's correct. And there's different ways to look at different things. And so I'm just saying, it never dawned on me until you brought this up, that I guess we shouldn't be surprised if that does happen. Some
right.
people will just disappear on us.
I find it interesting that Gene Decode says, the more people petition, the bigger the case it is, and the more likely that God will intervene and make a decision. And then from then on, it's different, let's say, and you just have to accept it. Most people don't remember the way things were, but some do.
Yeah, but you're speaking of a very major change worldwide. That's the impression I'm getting of your discussion. I'm talking about individual basis.
Right. Well, but see, that would also, like, all of a sudden in 1950, this guy from 2020 pops in, or whatever year, 2010.
Yeah.
To 1950. Well, he could become the wealthiest man in the world because he knows every invention that's going to come. He knows what stocks to invest in. And all he's got to do is start saving money and buy stock in Microsoft and Apple.
Well, I'll tell you right now, my suspicion is it wouldn't happen to that type of character of person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that is all that somebody is interested in is physical wealth, then what's the purpose?
Right. Well, if that's the kind of request you're making to the court of God, but God's going to probably ignore it. But remember that movie Back to the Future where they go back in time and They go forward and find a sports book that lists the winners of every major league championship game going back to 1950. And then the wrong guy gets his hands on it and he's going to become rich because every game is right there in the,
in this book. So they've got to get the book back from him so that he doesn't become the richest, most powerful man in the world. But so these ideas have been floating around. They show up every so often, but he's, Gene Decode says that, the reason why there are these ideas and they're in movies and stuff like that is because they're telling you what's going to happen and the way it's going to be. You might think, well, this is an interesting movie, but all of a sudden you might be living it. So moving along with what Gene Decode was saying, he said that when they vaccinated people for polio, they took a little bit of blood and a little bit of cells. When they pushed the needle in and squirted the vaccine in, they moved the needle around and then pulled it back out to suck up some DNA, and they preserved it. And it all went to a huge cabal project in Utah. And for years, they've been able to clone everybody in the world, anybody and everybody, because the polio vaccine was given to people around the world. So that if you happen to meet your doppelganger, which I did in 1975, if you happen to meet your doppelganger, that might be another one of you that was created. But they tried to, like, let's say they use your DNA to create a new you. Well, then, to be convincing, they've got to age it to your age. And they discovered that doesn't work very well. So they had a lot of problems with it. But he said they actually have, in a cryogenic vault in Utah, almost everybody in the world who was alive at the time that the polio vaccine was injected. And he said that's why a lot of people have big scars for where they got the polio injection.
Yeah.
And he says that not to worry now because the Alliance has seized it and taken it over. I guess by the Alliance he means the White Hats. So he's got a lot of really interesting things to say. Now, after I met that guy that was the exact clone of me, I mean, height, weight, skin color, hair, length, outfit, we were both wearing the same outfit, blue jean shirt and blue jean pants and boots that were almost identical. And he was a musician from Boston that was performing in Concord, New Hampshire. After that, a tree crushed my face, so I don't look like my original self. So if there's any doppelgangers out there, they don't look like me anymore because I'm the one that changed. So anyway, this Gene Decode, he brings up some really interesting subjects in a very short space of time. And I was like, well, I wish this was 2 hours long. I wish you'd spend more time getting into it. And, you know, but what are you going to do? Take what you can get.
Yeah. Well, you've got about 5 minutes here to go. Did you want to do some promo work?
Like, what do you suggest I promote?
Well, Revolution Radio.
Well, why don't you do that? Because you know more about the inside than I do.
Okay.
They never told me nothing.
Well, so, what are you expecting anybody to tell you? We're supposed to know these things.
Well, yeah, if you knew Nighthawk and you were around from the beginning and you know.
No, I never talked, I guess I did probably with Nighthawk. Well.
I never was, you know, I was like pulling teeth to talk to, when you said Thomas, is that the big kahuna for Revolution Radio was on the chat listening to me?
I didn't say anything, Thomas.
Oh, I thought you did at the beginning. You were talking about who was on the chat.
No. No.
There's no Thomas.
No, in fact, Tones is in here. In fact, Tones, you don't know it, but it's Gordon's birthday on the 2nd, so we're celebrating his birthday tonight. What I was going to talk about a little bit is that thus far our archives are still open. And they're making it very easy to get into. So if you're not a regular visitor to Rev Radio, pull it up. And the easiest way to get in is using freedomslips.com. And when you come in, if you are not used to coming in here, at the very top on the front page, you will see some drop, some tabs. It starts to the left with store, donations, auctions, management, schedule, and so on. And then you will come over to archives, and all you have to do is click on it. And when you click on it, it will bring you up to a screen of which I'm doing right now. And it shows you where you can click on to enter archives. If you look straight below it, it shows you the code name for the username is Rev Radio, all in lower caps. And then the password, and this is the key one that everybody gets messed up on. Password is lowercase also, rocks, R-O-C-K-S, with an exclamation point. And I'm thinking they should make that exclamation point in red so everybody sees that. But anyhow, that's all you have to do after you click in to enter archives is enter that information.
When you get to that page, then it's pretty clear if you could follow instructions.
Yeah, yeah. It's remembering the darn exclamation point after rocks is what everybody seems to be forgetting.
The now, last thing is really Revolution Radio Rocks, exclamation point.
No, the username is Rev Radio. Yeah.
Name is Revolution Rev Radio.
Yep. And it's all tied together. There's no space in there.
Right.
And then after you open up the archives, you will see a whole listing of all of the show names. And they are alphabetical, so you do have to know the show name that you're searching for. Or just go down and pull them out.
So this show is under T for the whole agenda.
Let me go in there right now and see. Well, it's too late. There we go.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Diane. And at least I did make it through the show. But
okay. All right.
Thank you.
Revolution Radio.